try this.
Yeah.
And if you can't grow this, move to an apartment and give up. No. It's a possibility.
Well, its flowers are perfect.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to do that for my wife. She doesn't listen to the show. So. Yeah, it's always a head bobber.
It is.
Good morning, America, Northwest Arkansas. My name is Mark.
And I'm Josiah, and you're watching or listening to Rockwell Farms Garden Show, Two Nuts on a Tree. Again, this recording, there is another nut in the studio.
Yes.
And in fact, if you notice, we're actually not in the studio. We're on Mark's beautiful out in his yard on the deck. So that way we had a little bit more room and breeze.
Yeah,
breeze.
I put my old man hat on.
Oh, I love it.
Just to change the atmosphere.
Yeah, sit in the yard with your old man hat.
I like it.
Awesome. With us today, we have Sandy Harmon from Proven Winners Color Choice Shrub Spring Meadow. And so we are so glad that she is with us today.
And she brought some reading material.
I did.
Taking for granted that we can read, but, you know, thank God there's pictures.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, pictures.
I want to go through this because I've never seen this before.
What, it's new.
What made y'all come up with this pocket guide?
So these are the questions that landscapers are getting from their customers.
Yeah.
People are saying, I need a shrub that's deer-proof. I need a shrub that can take a lot of salt because I salt my driveway a lot. People are asking for natives. People are asking for shade-tolerant plants. So this kind of sums up some of the top varieties that fit into some of those problem areas.
So this is something that Josiah, you should probably have. Because
you
Here at the nursery, Josiah is the one that does all of our landscape. He designs, lays it out, and he does a fabulous job.
This is absolutely wonderful.
You like it?
You are so right. These are the most common questions that I get or things that I have to think of. When people are paying for landscape design, they're not paying for a picture of what it's going to look like. What they're actually paying for is what you know on what can go there, what's not going to work, or situations like this for clay soil or, you know, salt from salting from the winter. You know, so these are common things that need to be thought about. So this is great.
What I want to do, I want to go through this landscape pocket guide, okay? And that will stimulate thought on other things that you like for the landscape.
Absolutely.
How's that?
That's great.
Let's do that.
Oh, that's great.
So let's first get into time to apply.
Time to apply.
Yeah. All right. It is time to apply. Hey, that's a very good product. The all-purpose 555 by Royal Gold.
Mm-hmm.
That's one that we use as a general all-purpose organic fertilizer. We love that product because it has everything that your plant needs to grow. And I tell you what, it grows. Josiah likes to put that on, especially the roses. That climbing rose just took off. It's like a green giant now. It's just huge.
It is huge,
For your garden, if we're promoting these two for your big garden. The Garden Farm and Home is really good. It has permethrin in it and also spinosad. Those two products will kill 110% of all your insects. You use very little, and it goes a long way. And so those are two that we're promoting right now for the big garden. They're both safe. Actually, spinosad's organic, and they work well. Osmocote, that is the Osmocote in the pink bottle. I like that because it feeds for a whole 6 months. It has 11 essential nutrients instead of just your nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium.
Mm-hmm.
Very good product for your proven winter color choice shrubs.
And it's slow release, so it's going to continue to give that nice little going. But this, the important thing is this is outdoor and indoor use, so you can also use it in the home for your houseplants.
I prefer the Royal Gold.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, you get a quicker. I just like the Royal Gold. It has everything that plant needs.
Pretty good.
All right.
All right, that concludes time to apply. Why don't we get into our plant of the week, Sandy?
That is a quick time to apply.
Take over this one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, plant of the week, what is it?
It is the Winecraft Black Smoke
Forest. Yes, that's the one I picked out.
Yes, Mark's choice, and I got the hint, so I picked that one.
Yeah.
So this is Winecraft Black Smoke
Forest. I love this.
It is. The foliage, that purple foliage, is just gorgeous in the landscaping. This plant will achieve a height of about 8 to 10 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And these leaves are going to get even larger. You can see they have kind of an unusual shape. And when it flowers, that's how it gets its name, smoke bush. It has plumes of this purple colored.
It looks like it's smoking.
It looks beautiful. Yeah, it doesn't have petals like a normal flower. It's just kind of, I guess, fuzzy would be a good way to describe it. Is that what you would say, Mark?
Well, the horticultural term for this is a shree.
Oh, see, I didn't know that, a shree.
Yeah, it's not a shrub and it's not a tree. It's a shree.
I don't believe that, but really? Yeah. That's not true.
I know. I have my own world.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to tell me the horticultural term for what the smoky brackets look like.
Oh.
Is there a term for that?
Probably.
Because they're not. The other thing that's really good for is cut flowers. A lot of cut flower growers will purchase
them. No way. That's right.
I never thought about that.
Because you can put them in vases. You can add them to arrangements and get a real striking look with that unusual purple color.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yep. I don't remember the zone, but I believe it's a 4 to 8.
Yeah. And the more you trim, the more it bushes out.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct. The more that you trim and fuss with it, the more that you're going to get more volume in the middle and a larger plant throughout.
Yeah. Now, Proven Winter has also got, is it Sesky Gold?
We have Winecraft Gold.
Winecraft Gold. Yes. My bad. The Sesky Gold, that's a whole different plant. Yeah, yeah. sorry. Yeah, so they also have Winecraft Gold.
We have the Winecraft Gold, which has the really bright, limey yellow leaves.
Didn't you get that plant, Josiah? We have that at the nursery.
I should have. But that's a really pretty one.
We grabbed it. It's over on that wagon, over yonder.
Oh, how good that does us.
A little bit far away.
can you believe that?
But it has a chartreuse kind of yellow, beautiful tone to it.
Fact, Jessica, would you go get those plants
underneath
first?
Winecraft Gold.
Yes, yeah. Winecraft Gold. So if you're against the plum purple color for some reason, I don't know why you would be, then you can get the gold color. Yeah. They don't have as pronounced of flower plumage as the black does, but it's a beautiful plant.
Yeah.
It is really pretty.
Especially if you plant some red barberry or some of that nature.
Correct.
That will bring out that gold.
Oh, there
gold
we go.
Color. That's in one of
the. This is the Winecraft Gold, and you can see that beautiful, bright foliage.
Color.
Yeah. And that is the biggest bang for the buck, because when you buy it in the quart pots by Spring Meadow, you're actually buying a shree, a plant that will get 8 to 10 feet tall.
Yes.
In like a little quart. I mean, you're saving so much money.
And it will. It will be a huge, beautiful plant by the third summer.
Yeah.
And this one is a little smaller. It's 4 to 6 feet tall versus 8 to 10 feet tall.
Oh, that's
cool. It does take part shade.
That's good.
It's great for a hedge, specimen, border.
You know what I'm playing around that?
What's that?
Nine bark.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nine bark is
just
a native.
Look at those two together.
Nine bark's a native shrub,
this
which will
amazing.
Really beautiful. Bring out that gold color.
And this is a nine bark is a physocarpus. They're extremely tough. They're extremely durable. They can take drought. They can take poor soil. This happens to be ginger wine.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like
this
that
is ginger
one.
Wine. You'll get flowers on this. Kind of a pinky
white
color.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
exactly. And then the more sun that this plant gets, the more copper.
Yeah.
Almost like a penny.
Yeah, that's a very cool plant. Like that one because you don't have to plant it. You just punt it in the yard and it grows.
You really do. Yeah. Like if you can't grow a thing, try this.
Yeah.
And if you can't grow this, move to an apartment and give up.
No,
I guess.
Kidding.
So I don't know.
We have silk flowers.
I love setting these as a centerpiece in even big containers and large containers.
Yes, you can do that as well with it.
Works really, really good, especially if it's a container that you need to water more, because this actually does pretty good in that if it dries out a little bit.
And this is also a popular one with cut flower growers.
No way.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I talk about cut flower growers because they grow a lot of woody shrubs from us because they're so versatile. And
so that would be like, if you're doing cut flowers, that would be like a filler.
Correct. That'd be like a filler, like for fall.
Oh, yeah, because you could put like chrysanthemums.
Exactly.
It would look really good with that.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yep. This is definitely a strong one that cut flowers.
I'm going to have to do that for my wife. She doesn't listen to the show, so
beautiful
we're good.
Beautiful foliage. Definitely. So.
Well, since we're talking about that one, we've also got the summer wine right behind you.
Yeah.
Yes. So summer wine, which is.
Oh, that's that big one.
Here, I'll grab one of those.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Those of you who are listening, we're moving around grabbing plants.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's what that noise is. So summer wine is another physocarpus, and this one is going to have a really really, as you can see.
Ooh, that has darker foliage.
This has dark foliage, very dark plum, shiny. And this one will have some flowering. It's not a big flower plant. And
well, you grow it for the foliage.
You grow it for the foliage, exactly. This one is 5 to 6 feet tall. It has low deer resistance, so
yeah.
This one might be the meat and potatoes of the deer's dinner.
Yeah, but not the dessert.
Not the dessert, no.
Yeah,
5 to 6 feet tall, and again, another favorite of cut flower growers. And believe it or not, there's some people who really don't want flowers in all their in their landscape. They just want a nice, good foliage plant that's gonna last.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you can cut that back, and it'll come right back and forget about it, and it'll be there. It'll be there every year.
Okay, now you guys went through the nursery and you picked out a few things.
We did.
Josiah, all right. Now, Josiah doesn't like abelia.
He doesn't like that. That's what he told me.
No. It's not my favorite. Nope,
you don't have to be defensive.
You don't like Scotch broom. Right. I love Scotch broom.
Okay.
I do. There it has its place. Yeah.
And we're still friends. There's no hard feelings between us.
So since you don't like abelia, why don't you talk about it?
Ah!
That was for you.
Abelia.
Yeah.
No, okay, listen. It has beautiful flowers. It has beautiful foliage.
It's multicolored.
It is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful plant.
Yes.
And so there is really a lot to like about it. This one right here is the Funshine. And so this one gives quite a bit of color, quite a bit of interest. Mm-hmm. It's not going to get super overwhelmingly distracting.
Well, see, I like the fun
and setting it in.
I like the Funshine. Because it doesn't get too big. Yeah, the foliage on it is tricolor.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay. And then you have the bloom as a bonus. So that's one that I really like. It doesn't look like it'll hold its... it's more winter tolerant than what it looks like. All right. It's like semi-deciduous here in Northwest Arkansas.
Yep. It's a zone 6 to 9.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And it's only 2 to 3 feet tall and wide.
See?
So it can go in the front of the landscaping.
Yeah.
It's smaller, and you do get really nice flowers that the pollinators like.
They're now, I will say it does smell pretty good.
There you go.
It does smell good. As we're sitting here, we can smell it. And
florally.
It smells good. Yep.
Yeah. So. I was going to say anything next to Josiah smells good.
It has medium deer resistance, so.
Oh, goodness.
Not the main course, and it's not dessert.
All right. Now, we've talked about the Pugster. Boodley eye.
Yes.
Okay, that tell us a little bit about that. That is the dwarf butterfly bug.
Yeah, so one concern why we started to look at doing research and
development.
That's
stinking awesome. Look at that bloom.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Gorgeous? That's your Pugster.
That's not blue.
They smell like
that's
honey. Don't they smell like honey, Mark? Do you think honey? Would you call it that?
Wow. I've never taken time out to smell them.
Mark. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Got to take time to smell the roses.
You're right.
No, I think it smells like honey.
Yes.
So butterfly bushes back in the day were huge, enormous bushes that, you know,
leggy.
We're talking 5 to 6 foot tall, easy.
Exactly. And this is a perfect example of how the researchers at Spring Meadow Nursery worked to bring a smaller, more manageable butterfly bush to the market.
And it sure
And that's
is.
our Pugster series.
Yeah.
Blue, amethyst, periwinkle, white, and pinker.
Yeah.
Are the different colors that we have in that. Now, one note about the butterfly bushes, they will tend to die back during the wintertime, mm-hmm. and they're pretty much the last ones to wake up in the spring. So we do get calls from people saying, my butterfly bush is dead. It's the beginning of May. What did I do wrong?
And we don't like the word dead.
Yeah.
It's dormant.
It's dormant.
Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, give it a couple more weeks. You know,
and
they're the last to wake. And then
back
it flushes.
Out.
Okay, this is a dwarf plant. How tall does the Pugster get?
So that one gets to be about 3 to 4 feet tall.
Okay. And look at the bloom on that.
Yep. And the pollinators, as you can imagine.
Oh, it smells honey.
It does smell like honey, doesn't it?
So I have had that same problem with customers going, hey, my butterfly bush, and just wait it out. Now, it will either die back or it will just be like any other woody shrub, flowering shrub, and just come back from those stems.
It will. So it can, yeah. Depends on your winter.
Yeah. Another question that I face with customers is, when do I trim it? Well, I would actually treat it almost like a panicle hydrangea.
Yes.
And wait for the growth to come out and trim just all that dead back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Once it's gone, the best time to trim these is when they've gone dormant. and just be, or you can wait until spring and just before they flush out in the spring, you can give it a trim at that time.
Perfect.
So some places of the country, they will die back. In Michigan, for example, up in the north area, it will die back. In a climate such as this, you won't get, see as much die back.
All right. Now, here's another plant that you got, Sandy. It's called
the
Fluffy Arborvitae.
Yep. This is Fluffy Arborvitae, and I really like this one because I like the colors of it, and I like its habit. It's got a fairly quick growth rate as well. It's great for if you need privacy hedging or you want a really pretty bright evergreen in a part of your yard or what have you. This one can get up to 30 feet tall. So it's a commitment. It's a commitment. You know, you want to make sure that you're putting it somewhere where it can comfortably grow to that height, and also it spread out as well.
I'd use this as a screen around the pool.
Yep, absolutely. That's what that
that's
would
a
be
good
perfect
one.
For.
Nice kind of yellowy bright.
I love that light, that light, the color, and then the new growth has that reddish tint to it. But I have never seen one of those fluffies look, you know, sick.
Yeah.
They're always so hard.
Well, a lot of the times with the yellow arborvitaes, they get brown. Okay.
That is correct.
Yes, and they can't tolerate the heat, and they're just not, they're not pretty whatsoever.
Thank you.
So that fluffy is really nice. Yeah. Now, why are you getting a drink of water? You wanted to get the Sprinter Boxwood.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Okay. Why the Sprinter Boxwood? What do you like about that?
So, you know, boxwood has, excuse me, boxwood is a super popular plant. We sell an absolute ton of them. This one, the reason why I wanted to show this is extremely deer proof.
Yeah, and hence the pot.
Correct. Show the pot, Josiah.
Yeah.
This is how you can identify a proven winter plant, color choice shrub that's in the Deer Proof program. You'll see the logo on the side of that plant, of that pot, along with the regular proven winter logo. So
it's like broccoli.
Apparently, these boxwood do not smell good to the deer, so that's reason why they will not eat them.
Wow.
Sprinter is one of the fastest growing boxwood on the market.
That was a quart not too long ago.
Correct. Yes. So Sprinter does grow faster, about half a season faster than your average boxwood. It also has very good blight resistance.
Okay.
So if you're in an area where you're concerned about boxwood blight, this would be a great choice.
Now, boxwood blight.
So no yellow brown leaves.
Correct. Yes. Boxwood blight is when you have like, we hear this all the time. One of the shrubs die, and then it spreads to the others.
That can happen.
Yeah. Boxwood blight is where it starts to turn brown on you. Now, how tall does the Sprinter get?
So that one can get 4 feet tall, and then you can certainly prune that.
See, that's perfect.
Yep. You can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, it's a great front of the house.
It's like every year, just go out.
Yeah, just use your clippers and make it the shape that you want it in.
Yeah, I like that.
Now, a quick note about boxwood blight. I want to mention that Josiah had said, you know, boxwood blight is when the leaves turn brown and, you know, when the plant just kind of starts to die. But if you have an exceptionally cold winter and not a lot of snow, boxwood can have their leaves turn brown.
Yeah.
And that's not blight.
That's normal. Yeah,
right.
No,
that's normal.
That's
normal winter, kind of the effect of winter.
Yeah.
You can just cut those brown leaves out. If you have blight, that boxwood is going to start to defoliate, and it's going to look like it's ill. I know of none of we don't have boxwood blight issues with any of our boxwood that we sell.
Now, there's also a hollies will look like boxwood as well, and I see you picked out a Japanese holly, which is yellow.
Yes, so this is glow stick. So this is what we refer to in the business as a boxwood alternative.
Wait, is green on the bottom and yellow on top?
Yep, so the green, well, it will all turn to the yellow color. This is coming out of winter is my feeling. Mm-hmm. And this is all the new growth. But the plant itself is going to be, I guess you call it a limey. I call it a limey green. You may call it chartreuse. But a lot of folks who have boxwood blight in their area are turning towards what we call a boxwood alternative.
The hollies.
Something like this, the Japanese holly.
Okay.
Yeah. looks pretty similar.
It does look similar. And again, you can prune it how you want it, make it the shape that you want it.
Now, this one is a pretty nice upright, but yeah, all of the new growth is going to be that yellow color.
Correct.
And then it looks like your older growth, it goes back to that darker, kind of like Sky Pencil Holly would be, more known one. But Glow Stick, we saw this in the catalog, and we were like, we're getting.
Oh, that's like a yellow green.
For sure.
Sky Pencil Holly.
Yes, that is correct. Yes.
That's interesting.
Exactly.
That gives you interest. Okay, you also have one of the hibiscus over there.
Yep, so I personally.
Is that a pillar?
That is called Pink Chiffon. And I love
the chiffon.
I love the Rose of Sharon hibiscus. So this plant is in our chiffon series. There's blue, white, the pink.
Pink and purple.
Yep.
Yep.
And this is just the quart size, so it's small. But this one will get up to 10 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a prolific bloomer. You'll have so many blooms with this one. And you can choose every year if you want to cut it back or not. You know, if you want to keep it tall and use it as a privacy hedge, this is a
It's beautiful as a privacy hedge.
It is. It really is. No, you're fine. And, you know, the flowers are just gorgeous. So I love.
And you can't kill them.
You really can't kill them. You do have to kind of watch because the Rose of Sharon, kind of one of the knocks on them is that they can send out seeds and create little babies around your yard. I personally don't care because then I get another plant, which has happened a lot
you're
at
like
my
me,
house.
Yeah.
I have a lot of little babies around my Rose of Sharon.
You know, I bet you ran out of room at your house and you started planting your neighbors. I would not put that past you.
Yes, our neighbor Bruce next door.
Oh my word!
I have gone over to him and said, "Can I put this over here?" And of course, he doesn't mind. He gets a free plant, right? But yes,
that's awesome.
Thanks for calling me out on that.
You are such a good neighbor.
So, Rose of Sharon, they are what I call an old-fashioned kind of a memory lane kind of plant.
All right.
Well, I want to touch on Rose of Sharon too, because often when I make a recommendation on Rose of Sharon, people think of the real old-fashioned Rose of Sharon, and they don't think of all of the newer varieties.
Right.
Like the one right behind you, Mark, is Red Pillar. Now, it's not in bloom yet. Still a little bit early for this one, but Red Pillar, it grows nice.
That's about 4 foot tall.
Pillar rest. Yeah, the one you've got behind you is about 4 foot tall.
That was a quart last year.
But it doesn't get all big and wide or more, I guess you'd call it arborescent kind of tree form. Is that
right?
Is that the right term to use? But it grows more of an upright habit.
So more of a pillar.
Great for small spaces, but you still get that beautiful, almost tropical looking flower, I would say.
And I'll tell you one thing. All these plants that are in the 2 gallon, 3 gallon that we have here, all these were quarts last year. So we planted them into the 2 and 3 gallon last fall, and they went all through our winter, and I believe it got down to negative 10, 12 degrees, and they just come back the next year. And I tell people, you know, it's not like we put them all in a greenhouse. They're just out there fending.
We have no warm houses.
That's why we love Proven Winters. We just put them out there and they fend for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if it can survive in the pot above the ground all winter, you know it's going to survive in the ground.
In the ground, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So there you go. You're not the only one that abuses plants for hardiness. All right, I want to get back to this landscape pocket guide, if that's okay with you guys.
Yeah.
The first one that you have is one that I really like. It's the North Pole.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
One of the biggest sellers that we've had here at our nursery is the Arborvitae Green Giant.
Right.
Okay? Yep. That's been a mainstay in the horticultural world for a long time. Now, your North Pole, I see, gets only 3 to 5 foot wide and 15 foot tall.
Yep, that's correct.
That's awesome. Because your Arborvitae Green Giant gets way too wide.
It is. It's very wide. I think it can be up to 10 to 12 feet wide.
It's crazy.
And it can be up to 35 feet tall.
Yeah.
And as I said, that's a commitment. You know, that's something that you definitely have to have the right spot for. And it's going to look a little bare for the first couple years because it's not, you know, as big.
And your North Pole looks like it's very dense.
The North Pole is very dense. It does not yellow out like some of those arborvitaes do. Again, good for privacy. It's a fairly fast grower.
Yeah.
It's not super speedy, but it's faster than Emerald Green, which is...
I was just going to say that. Yeah. This would be a good substitute for your Emerald Green,
that
am I
is
right?
Exactly. This is what you call an improved selection.
Yeah. So I would say I have these planted in my landscape, and I also have... I planted these here because I had tried the Emerald Green Arborvitae.
Yes.
And I have had far better success with these. We virtually do nothing to them.
The North Pole.
And they're much brighter. If I could go back in time, I would actually call this the Emerald Green because it's much greener.
It is greener.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have Emerald Greens planted along the fence row, and I've never been really happy with them.
And the
North Pole Arborvitae, great.
And it's zone 3 to 8, so
all over the USA.
Goes throughout the USA. Yeah. Okay, so the next on your landscape recommendations is Oh So Easy Urban Legend.
Yes.
Why did you pick that rose?
Because of the fact that it's an award winner. Mm-hmm. It blooms and then it blooms and then it blooms and then it blooms. It's extremely hardy. I think the zone, what is the zone on that one?
Yeah, the zone is 4 through 9.
Yeah, 4 through 9. So you can plant it pretty much anywhere in the United. Well,
it pretty much gets 3 foot by 3 foot.
It does.
And it's for low water usage. Does not take a lot of water.
It does. And it's also, the color is very unusual. I would call it.
It's not red. It's not red, rose.
It's not orange. It's maybe a kind of a corally color. But that one was chosen because of it's just almost the perfect rose.
Yeah, I love the Oh So Easy as a substitute for the Knockout because they do have fragrance.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Correct. They do. That's a pretty one. I love all the roses, though. So.
Me too.
All right. Jazz Hands. That's another one that you recommend for the landscape.
Yep. So that is a Loropetalum.
Yes. Now, we do not sell that here because we're in Zone 6A. That's further south than us.
It is a little bit
still
further
a cool
south.
Plant.
It is a cool plant. Yep. So that those are more of a specimen plant. So they also do really well in containers. So actually, you could sell them here and suggest putting them in a container. I know that I have container grown them at home and had them on my deck, and then put them in my basement for the winter and brought them back. But the Loropetalum are very popular in the South.
Yeah.
And ours have that variegated leaf that's a plum color with pink and white.
It is beautiful.
So it gives
us a ton
of visual interest. And then you get what's called a Chinese fringe flower, which is actually one of the names of it. And it literally looks like little jazz hands. it's different, and it's eye-catching, and people will comment on it. So
pretty good in Louisiana.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Now, your next one is the Dwarf Hardy Hydrangea Firelight Tidbit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
Now, that one is a small hydrangea.
It's small. Yep, it's a dwarf.
At most 3 by 3.
Yes.
And what's so outstanding about that? Ooh, okay, I see. It is tolerant of all soils.
It is tolerant of all soils, and the genetics of this one is so strong that every single plant looks like every single plant. They all look like little clones in the landscape. It doesn't need a lot of trimming. It doesn't need a lot of fuss and muss. Give it some slow release fertilizer in the spring to kind of the little granules to try to get it going, and it will do its thing. And then when everything is going to sleep in the fall or the winter, however that works for where you are,
that's when it shines.
You can snip off the dead panicles, or some people like to leave them on for winter interest. That's totally up to you. And it's going to repeat the next year.
Okay.
And it's dwarf, so it fits into a small landscape.
Yeah, hydrangea is 3 foot by 3 foot is really outstanding.
Exactly.
I love the pink in this, and then this is also another great hydrangea that can be put in that full hot sun.
That is correct.
Because it's a panicle. And so pretty versatile for where you want a hydrangea, and it doesn't get as big.
Right, and it goes through the color change. So when it when it first blooms, it's going to be that real creamy white, almost like like cream that you put in your coffee. And then as the season goes on until fall, it's going to turn pink.
Okay.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
So
now,
pretty.
You have a section here of wildlife appeal.
Yes.
Okay. And it's talking about whether it's supporting pollinators or feeding songbirds. Customer customers are interested in attracting wildlife to the properties.
Yep. So obviously we want to take care of our pollinators.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that they have enough places to go. So people are putting in pollinator gardens.
Yes.
Where they are drawing in, you know, the bees and the butterflies and the hummingbirds and what have you. That's really important.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for the whole earth. It's important for all of us.
Yeah.
So things like...
your black aronia. You have that in here. Did I say it right? Aronia?
Yes.
It can only get 1.5 foot to 3 foot tall and wide.
Yes, that's a low-scape mound. Correct.
It's a native plant.
It is a native plant. So that's good for the environment as well.
Yeah.
Native plants means that that plant has already existed in nature, and then we've improved upon it. So...
another hard to kill.
Another hard to kill. And that low-scape mound is really good for a ground cover. Think of it as a ground cover. If you have a wide area that you can fill in.
I have heard that. Yeah. I have heard that.
It's very good. Yeah.
Yeah. And then bright fall color.
The leaves all turn red. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
And it will produce berries. And actually, in some countries, the berries are, you know, collected and people eat them. I've tried them before. They're very bitter. You know, they're not like a blueberry that is, you know, sweet. It's definitely a different type of berry, not one that I would care. But again, it will attract your pollinators. It can take some shade.
And birds,
exactly, for the berries.
Yeah, that's kind of like the service berry. Yeah, Chris the other week said that she went out and she nibbled on some of the berries and they were tart. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not poisonous. It was just tart.
Yeah.
But that service berry is a beautiful tree. So
it is really pretty.
We sell that. Not only for it being an ornamental tree, but it attracts the birds. And it's just beautiful. When it blooms, whoa, the whole tree is just...
Well, that's exactly it. Gorgeous. Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
And then when you get the berries on there...
The whole thing's red.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
All right, the next one would be the pearl glam, the beauty bush.
Yes.
That's an outstanding plant.
That one, the berries on that one are like a light purple, and they look fake. Because they're so
they
perfect.
Do.
They look like they're plastic.
They do.
They really do.
This is a great one. I do like using this one when they go to putting on those purple berries for arrangements. Because they just look nice and festive. They're really, really cool.
To me, the beauty bush should be good for someone that lives more out in the woods or maybe has a cabin or something like that.
Not necessarily. Yes, absolutely. But not necessarily. I love using these as because they will get a little bit larger. Yeah. In
4 to 5 foot.
Yeah. Kind of as maybe a backdrop.
Yes. We're
putting them around evergreens.
All right.
And the reason I like to use them with evergreens is because when that season is slowing down, these will have interest around that fall time when everything is kind of getting duller. So it just kind of pops up around those evergreens and gives you that longer season of interest.
Okay, the interest would be the dark purple foliage color.
The interest would be those berries going into fall.
Okay.
Yep, for sure the berries.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And they'll last. I mean, the birds aren't the first to flock to those,
mm-hmm.
But so you'll get berries for a long time. Again, another good cut flower variety.
You have one of my favorites in here, and this is the Beyond Midnight Bluebeard.
Mine too.
Oh,
I love that.
Yes.
But okay, my only problem with this, it doesn't sell until the fall.
That you are 100% right.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is 100% right. No one will buy that plant until it's in bloom because before it's in bloom, it's just a really pretty green bush.
Yeah.
And then as soon as it blooms...
It flies out of here.
But I mean, it's kind of like they're stepping on their own toes because if it was planted in the spring, it would be a lot prettier around that time when fall rolls around.
Exactly.
Yes, absolutely. You know?
I like also using this one, planting alongside of the pearl glam.
Yes.
Because you have those purple berries over here, and then you kind of have that blue flower coming off of the bluebeard.
So in all honesty, a lot of these, not the wildlife appeal, it not only appeals to the wildlife, but it gives things of interest. We're talking berries. We're talking about bloom. We're talking about foliage, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And the Beyond Midnight is the only one, I mean, in the fall, the blue. Blue is very hard to find in the landscape.
It is. It's a difficult color to make.
Yeah. So.
And that one, you know, there's not a lot of, most plants do their flower show in the spring.
Yes.
Where this one mm-hmm. is definitely in the fall. So yeah. you get your fall color. And it will be covered in butterflies and bees. So
yes.
Just a word of caution, if you're like, oh, I can't stand bees, I don't want them anywhere near me, I would avoid this plant because they absolutely cover it.
Yeah. Now, what I also like about this one is your typical bluebird can get a little bit bigger, but this one only gets around 2.5
Correct.
To 3 foot
I didn't notice
tall
that.
And wide.
Yes.
So it's not going to get overwhelmingly huge in the landscape. Yes. So it's another reason. Again, with landscape design, this is something we're thinking about where the customer or the viewer can see color and interest in their landscape throughout all of the seasons and not just for spring.
All right. Mm-hmm. The next one is Sugar Shack. It's a button bush. Oh, you like that one.
I think it's so interesting.
Yeah, it's a native
little,
plant.
Yeah, with the little pods. I'm going to call them pods that turn red in the fall. It's kind of interesting.
Okay, so here again, we have another plant that gives you interest in the fall. Because like you said, everybody comes through the nursery in the spring, and they forget about late summer or fall. They forget about the fall color.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is a good one for fall color.
Correct, and it's a zone 4 to 10.
You can't live.
So 10 is going to put us down Florida, part of the majority of Texas. It's going to cover a lot of territory.
It's a PHS metal winner.
Mm-hmm. And native. It just really checks a lot of boxes.
Yep. Temple of Bloom.
Yep. So that's a heptacodium.
That's kind of a shree,
Temple
isn't it?
Bloom.
This one reminds me of Indiana Jones.
I know.
Temple of Doom.
Very good.
Yeah.
Here's your buddy Temple again with his naming.
I know.
Indiana Jones.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is also called Seven Suns Flower. Yep. That's another name for it. And it is a shree.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the nursery, we have we are making ours kind of a multi-limb tree. That's how they're being pruned. You can leave it as a shrub, as a bush. Mm-hmm. You can identify a single stem, I guess you would call it, and create a regular tree, just kind of how you want it to work in your landscaping. And these are just amazing when they're in bloom. They bloom white, and then they transition to a dark pinky peachy color. And just stunning. And that's later in the year as well.
Why is it named Temple of Bloom?
I'm sure Tim named that one, and it might have something to do with Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% certain, but
I'm 99.
I will tell you that we get a lot of phone calls from consumers looking for that particular plant.
Yeah.
Or it attracts butterflies.
It does. It attracts butterflies. They are slow growing. I mean, they do take a while to definitely get their feet under them. So, but the reward at the end of that is just a true conversation piece and a beautiful. Beautiful plant.
That's lovely.
A shree.
You like that word, don't
you? I do. Now I'm going to use that all the time.
Yeah. All right. Here's another native plant. It's the Sunny Boulevard St. John's
Wort. St. John's Wort.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So I love this one because it's a great border plant, and it blooms those cute little yellow flowers all summer long.
Yeah. It's only 2 foot by 3 foot wide and tall.
Yes.
And the flowers look like little tiny daffodils.
They do. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. It's super cool, and it just fills in. It's deer resistant. It's native. It likes full sun. Just FYI on that. It's dwarf. You get the flowers. It doesn't need a lot of care, but it's just going to accent your landscaping.
Another one for the landscape. It's another native one. I mean, we're hitting a lot of natives.
We sure are.
They're hard to kill and they're beautiful. The
Fizzy Mizzy. Yep.
But, you know, Fuzzy Wuzzy.
Fuzzy Wuzzy was.
How fuzzy was he?
Yeah, well, he was.
Sweet Spire.
Sweet Spire.
Sweet Spire.
I love this one.
You do?
I do love this one.
Okay.
I love the cones. It's like these long, elongated cones of white blooms.
Yep.
And I think it smells really good as well.
It does. And it's also one of the few that can take full shade and still bloom.
No kidding.
And there's not a lot of shrubs that can do that.
Not a whole lot.
No. They want some sun. But this one can take full shade, and you're still going to get the nice blooms.
Now, this one can tolerate a lot, though. It can tolerate a lot from more drought to maybe a little bit wetter conditions, too, as well.
And to bad soil.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you know what I've noticed?
We have that here.
On most of these, at least half of them in your wildlife appeal section, most of these are 3 foot by 3 foot.
They're very manageable to where people can use them in the landscape.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's one thing. So I'm really glad that you brought this up.
And that's been a big trend in the landscape industry is smaller yards, people needing smaller plants. Especially first-time home buyers.
Yeah.
They're not maybe getting a very large yard with their first house, and they need more of the dwarf plants. And, of course, they want something that is very low maintenance.
Our next section would be the salt tolerance.
Yes.
Now, these oh, you like this one.
I do.
Michigan.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Now, these, I would, like, my assumption would be these are the ones that just, they grow. Right. I mean, salt. If you put salt on a plant, you are pretty much taking out all the water out of its cell system. And so if a plant is salt tolerant, that sucker's going to grow.
Yep.
Whether you want it to or not.
That's a vigorous plant, to use your word.
Yeah.
If it's going to be salt tolerant.
Yeah.
So, you know, your barberry are going to be in that category.
Mini maroon,
yep, that's one of them. Mini maroon is also a sterile variety.
What does that mean?
So what that means is it does not set seed.
That's important in barberry?
It is important in barberry. There are several states that barberry is banned in because they're considered invasive, meaning that they make seed.
Okay.
And that seed is dispersed by animals or the wind or what have you, or humans as we walk through the forest or what have you, and then they leave little baby barberries all around, and then they kind of take over.
That'd be a problem.
That was a result of our research and development team to come up with these two sterile varieties. We have Mini Maroon and we have Toto, which is the plum colored one.
Yes,
this is also the barberry are also deer proof.
Deer
do not like them because of the thorns, and some customers. They don't like them because of the thorns also. So,
yeah, but it keeps, if you're in deer country, it keeps the deer out of your landscape.
Exactly.
And a lot of people that are in deer country, they have trouble getting color.
I
would say with plants, a lot of it is give and take where, you know, if you're going for color, it might have a con over here, but you're getting that beautiful constant color throughout the entire season.
You're right.
Yes.
So it's kind of a give and take thing. So, you know, the most common thing with all plants is you want a plant and it's beautiful, but then you're going to have to water it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Come on.
I keep reminding my wife, I'm all give and take. All right, the incredible, the smooth hydrangea.
Okay. Yes.
So the incredible is what has been referred to as a smooth hydrangea. It's also a native, which would be the Annabelle hydrangea.
You have a lot of native plants.
We do have a lot of native.
Yeah. That's awesome.
A lot. So the Annabelle hydrangea was discovered in the South by two women out for a walk, and it was named.
And they said that's incredible.
No, it's great.
No, they didn't say it.
That is incredible.
They showed it to someone. I don't know who they showed it to. I probably should. Don't quote me on any of this.
Okay? No, it's a good story, whether it's true or not.
No, it is true. I swear it's true. I just don't remember
all
the names. There
were two women.
Oh, great.
And they found this hydrangea out there in the wild and brought it to someone who did plants. And it became, they called it Annabelle because it was found in the South. So that's kind of a Southern, you know, term.
Yeah.
And that was the first Annabelle hydrangea. And then, of course, Proven Winners got their hands on it.
Yeah.
And now we have the Incredible.
And good for them.
You know, it has a big bloom.
Yeah.
Huge.
But sturdy stems to where it doesn't flop over.
Now they have the storm proof.
Now we have storm proof.
Now they have the storm proof that gets that huge head of a bloom on it, but it does not flop.
It does not flop. And it's storm proof because, literally, this is the story, we had some really bad storms up in Michigan. And our friend Tim Wood, they had gone to look at the plants, and they weren't flopping. Which, I mean, the stems are ridiculous. So,
goodness, yeah.
And so they said, oh, that's stormproof. Well, it stuck. Mm-hmm. So the stormproof hydrangea came out this year. It's a little smaller than Incredible as far as size.
Okay.
So it's a little more manageable. Incrediball, again, I call it a commitment plant. It can be really large.
Mm-hmm. 4 to 5 foot tall.
Exactly. But then when you take into account the size of the mop.
Yeah, but I'd use the Incrediball like a hedge. That'd be beautiful.
A nice border of your yard.
Yes.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Is that how you would use it in the landscape?
That's exactly.
Yeah, so the picture in that landscape guide that you see there,
yes,
that is the owner's home. He has the hedge of Incrediball hydrangeas.
Lovely.
That's incredible.
40, 50 feet long.
Oh, my goodness. I want to go check this guy's yard out.
Well,
yeah.
It's not for lack of invitations to come on.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I knew that was coming.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Nudge, nudge.
I know.
All right. We'll be up there.
Yeah. Let's talk about
won't
the.
Won't we?
Skyview. Skyview Les Dance.
Yes. Let's Dance Skyview.
So then. Les Dance is a whole series. Why did they pick the Skyview?
The name Skyview?
No, why'd they pick that plant to put in yours? Or all the Let's Dance are salt tolerant?
Sure. That would be my guess. I'm not 100% certain. Yeah. But we talked about Skyview on last week's show.
About how that one changed color. Go ahead.
We talked about how it can change color, but we also talked about how it's a mix between a macrophylla and a serrata. So you're going to get the blooms on the old and the new wood.
Yep. So you can actually, if you screw up or if the plant's too big in the spring and you trim it, you're still going to get blooms.
You're going to get a lot of blooms because they're going to be up and down the stem, which most macrophylla hydrangeas just bloom at the tip.
Okay. And that's one that doesn't get too big either.
Is this Skyview?
Could be.
I don't know if this is Skyview.
It's a Let's Dance variety.
Yeah. Where's the tag?
Certainly.
Oh, we messed up the tag.
Uh-oh.
This is...
I think I plucked it off.
I think this is...
Let's Dance Can Do, maybe?
No, that's Can Do back there.
Okay.
This could be Let's Dance Lovable. That's a possibility.
Well, its flowers are perfect.
Yep. So this is a macrophylla hydrangea. So this is a straight macrophylla hydrangea. And again, this is one that you can turn blue by adding the aluminum sulfite. Mm-hmm. Early in the spring, if you added it now, it would do nothing.
Right.
Like we did nothing.
Right. So this variety would definitely like to have some afternoon shade so that it doesn't burn. And if you prune this one at the wrong time, you will cut off all the buds. If you prune this
It'll be a whole nother season.
It'll be a whole nother season. And this is the one that people complain about and say, I don't know what's wrong with my hydrangea. It does not bloom. And you say to them, well, when did you prune it? I pruned it,
in the spring.
In the spring. And you're like, you cut all the buds off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cut all the buds off.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I didn't know.
You know what's super cool about that is that hydrangea we did absolutely nothing to. And it looks perfect.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
All we did was add water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is wonderful.
It's instant plant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Gem Box.
I'm sorry, I keep getting fuzzies in my nose.
From all the pollen,
from the cottonwood. Oh, yeah. So Gem Box is another boxwood alternative, and it looks an awful lot like a boxwood. It is what's called an ink berry holly.
Yes. Okay.
And it only gets, 2 to 3 foot tall and wide.
That is correct.
It's a small one.
Yep. And it will produce berries if there's a male in the area. The berries aren't really that impressive, so it's not something that, like a regular holly bush.
But still, you're not going to buy it for the berries.
No,
it's a native species that's hard to kill.
Yeah. Correct.
All right.
Correct.
That's why I like the native species. You can't kill them. I want to skip on over to the tater tot.
Sure.
Tater tot arborvitae. Mm-hmm. I mean, that it's like, the bowling ball arborvitae where it's just round.
Yeah.
Same thing with the tater tot.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's perfectly.
It's a little ball shape.
Yeah, and you don't have to trim it.
You don't have to trim it.
Those are so cool.
Anything to it, really. I have used those to line border beds with.
Yeah.
If it's more of a kind of formal bed. Yeah. But also, you can just throw these in if you're just needing a filler and needing something evergreen. They're so easy.
I think it works in a perennial garden because it's an evergreen. Mm. It won't overcome your perennials.
This is true.
Because it's only like 2x2, just a small head.
Just small.
Small afro. And then you have your perennials in amongst it. Yeah.
And it's got an adorable name.
Tater tot.
Tater tot. People love tater tot from the name.
Yeah. Little ketchup and you're good to go.
You're good to go. Yeah.
Now, the next thing we're going to get into is shrubs that can really tolerate clay soil.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And let's just kind of pick out our favorites. I mean, we've talked about the nine bark.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
We did.
Yep. So these in the clay soil, I'd have to consider. Now we're talking about those that will handle wet feet,
yep.
low fertility,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh. and just hard to kill, right?
Yep.
Perfect for the landscape,
yep. Yep.
right?
Spirea.
Oh,
spirea.
My.
And spirea, that can cover a whole wide
Here's
area.
Here's your double doozy.
Yep.
Your
there
double
it is.
Doozy is in here.
Double
we talked
doozy.
About that last week.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Your nine barks.
Nine bark is one of those plants that I recommend when people tell me they have poor soil
yeah.
and they're not going to be able to take care of it. Like a lot of...
Like most customers?
Yeah. A lot of municipalities will put Duravilla in because maybe they have some out-of-the-way areas that they need some,
right.
some plants. And you can get color and they don't have to baby them. They can just put them in and forget about them.
Now you have your bloomerang in here also, your lilac.
Yes, the lilacs.
Yeah,
yep, the
okay.
lilacs. So,
okay, once again, that is deer and disease resistant.
It is. So, and they rebloom. They're reblooming lilacs.
That series is only 3 to 6 foot tall. You
yes.
can keep it down to 3 foot. That's great.
Yep, that would be the smaller ones. Bloomering per pink, and then we have the new bloomering show mound, which is white.
Yeah, we have that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a friend that had purchased some of these back in the spring, or I'm sorry, back in fall. It was last fall. Purchased some of these, and they sending me photos of how beautiful they are now. Just covered.
Great.
Just completely covered
Excellent.
In blooms.
You know, I tell you what, I'm really glad that you came out with this landscape pocket guide, because this is something that we can have here at the nursery
yep.
and give to the customers and kind of explain to them a lot of these are native plants, hard to
yes.
kill. And a lot mm-hmm. of these, when I think native plant, I'm always thinking overcoming, too big, that sort of thing. And
right.
These are not.
No, because we've developed that plant. We've, you know, uh-huh. taken it to the more manageable size.
Right.
And solved some of the issues that maybe the true native had.
Yes, because most people do not want to cover up their front window.
Correct. They
right?
do not. Right.
Yeah. And so a lot of these plants will work in front of the landscape.
Yep.
All right.
Absolutely.
Sandy,
yeah.
I am so glad you made us look good. Okay, and I really appreciate that.
That wasn't very much work to do that, guys. So.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're the bottom of the barrel, so it doesn't take much now, does it? All right, folks, so
awesome.
I thank you so much for
thank
joining
you.
Us once again. It's just a privilege and an honor, Sandy, for you being with us.
Thanks, Mark.
Yep.
Thanks
yeah.
for having me. I really appreciate it.
I learned
it.
A lot.
I'm glad you did.
And this landscape guide is awesome.
Well, we'll get you a whole bunch.
Well,
that'd be awesome.
This is something that will really help Josiah when he's designing
yep.
and installing landscape.
Definitely. It's kind of a good little thing to go back to.
Yeah.
On.
All right, Josiah,
okay.
lead us out.
Well, hey, thank you so much for listening to us. We love talking with you.
Yeah.
If you have any gardening questions or questions about this show or any of the items that we talked about or even ideas for future shows, you could go to rockwellfarmsnursery.com. We would love to hear from you. You can also go, if you're watching from YouTube, and comment down below, and we answer those
yep.
on this show.
We do.
All right.
All right. Thank
Thanks.
You so much.
We'll talk to you next time.